Monia, what do we have in the glass?
Of course, Chianti Classico, il Palagio di Panzano.
Oh, what a surprise. Cin cin.
Cin cin. Salute.
Let's taste it. Which vintage is it?
2020.
Oh, a difficult vintage for us persons, humans, because it was the first year of COVID, and so difficult year for us.
Yeah. How can you forget?
Yeah, no.
2020.
I can't forget.
For many reasons, unforgettable.
Mm-hmm.
For us, as vintner, I think it was the year where we really put all ourselves, although we do every day, because we are a small winery, so we can really be every day in the fields. But it was the zero. I mean, it was really the year zero where we could go back in time. Everything was really slow.
Yeah.
And there was only one thing that could save our lives, and was nature.
Yes.
So we realized, I think, totally, I mean, till our soul, how important it has been for us to be here. So, salute.
Salute. Let's taste your wine. Oh, it smells.
Yeah, I love 2020.
It's wow.
Mm.
Oh, beautiful.
It's lovely, the nose. Mm. It really reminds me of the smell, you know, of the fragrances that I kept in my nose during specifically those months that I was working outside.
Yes.
You know, typically this work is done by Franco, my husband.
Yeah.
But because of the situation, it was a reason for me to be much more next to him than, let's say, normal other vintages where I have to spend and share my time with many other tasks. And at the same time, it was a moment where also our kids were with us. So it is really a vintage that reminds me of many things. And I mean, going back to the wine, the nose really reminds me of that moment. And it's a connection incredible with that moment.
Margaret.
And the earth.
Ciao, buongiorno. Das war gerade Monia Piccini vom Weingut Il Palagio aus Panzano in Chianti. Ich bin Nina und ich liebe Chianti Classico. Und mit diesem Podcast will ich dich mitnehmen in meine Chianti Classico-Welt und dich teilhaben lassen an Gesprächen mit Winzern, an meinen Eindrücken hier im Chianti und dir so viel wie möglich über Chianti Classico erzählen. Heute bin ich, wie du ja bereits hören konntest, zu Gast auf Il Palagio di Panzano bei Monia Piccini. Das Weingut und der dazugehörige märchenhafte Agriturismo gehören Monia und ihrem Mann Franco. Lass uns aber gleich eintauchen in die Welt von Palagio. Und weil Monia leider kein Deutsch spricht, habe ich das Gespräch in Englisch mit ihr geführt. Buongiorno, Monia. Thank you for your time. Thank you that you invited me to do together a podcast show for Nina in Chianti. We are sitting here and I feel really honored in your beautiful garden here in Palagio, Il Palagio di Panzano. And everything is green. We can hear the birds. We have a fantastic view into the valley, into the Concadoro. We can later on to explain about a little bit about Concadoro. And behind of us, there is the castle. It's like a castle. It's not a house. It's not a villa. It really looks like a castle in the fairy tale. You know, when I, when I do my podcasts, I always think on three key facts which came coming up to my mind when thinking on the winery. And for Pallaccio, there are three key facts as well. This is Panzano DOC, which means basically means born in Panzano. Then just Sangiovese. Sangiovese is here definitely star. And the Concatoro, the so-called Golden Valley of Panzano in Chianti. But let's start with Panzano DOC, or we could say with the very beginning of all. Here in Panzano are a lot of wineries. 23 are members of the Unione Viticoltore di Panzano, the famous producer group of Panzano, but not so many, honestly only a few, have owners with their roots here in Panzano, means born and raised in Panzano. One of the wineries is yours, because you and your husband Franco have been born here in Panzano. And I know there is a lovely story behind your romance. Would you like to tell us a little bit about it?
Of course. No secrets.
We want to know everything.
Okay. Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for being here. It's such a great opportunity for me to adventure into a podcast never done in my life.
So I'm the first.
Yes, you
Perfect.
Are. And I always listen to your podcasts. I love
oh.
them. So, but regarding my life, well, the story is a long story, but I have to make it short. So my grandfather purchased the house in 1965. And he was from Panzano, but had moved away from Panzano for a little time and had the wish of buying, you know, a piece of property and a house for his family to share moments and to have his own vegetable garden, animals, and wine and olive oil. So clever enough, purchased this beautiful piece of property and land. But funny story is that Franco, who is my husband, and Franco's grandfather was born here in 1920. So much
here
earlier.
In Pallaggio.
Here in Pallaggio. Was born here because his family used to live here at in the property.
Mamma mia.
Incredible. And he was, the family was doing what we say mezzadria, so was the sharecropper of this property. And he was born here at the house. And so both of us, Franco and I, who we met much later in life, both have grown up with stories about this place. So while I was hearing every day my grandfather and mother telling me in the fields, you know, this piece of land used to be of that family who used to have this, and this piece of stone was from here, you know, this kind of stories that you can imagine was the way to entertain a little kid in the fields. At the same time, somewhere in Panzano Alto, Franco was growing up with stories of his grandfather telling him that he was born in Il Palagio di Panzano. And he used to work the land and growing that piece of field with a specific type of plant and blah, blah, blah. And so both of us, when we met, of course, I didn't know his backgrounds. He didn't know mine, although we belonged to the same village, but had a gap of age.
It's incredible.
I know. It is incredible. And sometimes
because Panzano is not so
big. It's very small.
It's not comparable with New York
or
London.
Exactly. It's very, very small. But that's a age gap. Our families were not, let's say, friends.
Yeah.
And my friends were mainly in Florence. His friends were not here. So we didn't have chances to share moments of friendship or grow up together in the same friendship. So he actually thought that I was not Italian and not from Panzano.
No,
and I
used to come here
on vacation. So just to say. Well, anyway, apart from this, and this is so a little bit our story. And anyway, when we finally met and our story began, we spent lots of time together talking about, you know, the beauty of this place, his dream and my dreams. He had his own business as I had just started the work with my father here on the winery. And both of us had the dream of being here together and do something together. We really didn't expect that life would have changed our lives in a very short time and drastically, really, took us on, you know, on this dream and aboard of this dream. So that came after. But in between, let's say, the dream and the reality, there were a few years that I have spent together with my father. And the project mainly started with my father's idea and project of renovation of the house and the new cellar. I was too young. I had a clear idea that this would have been my future, but I was too young and I didn't feel an expert, but mainly I didn't have enough courage in myself to start and take my own decisions, because of course I had next to me my father who could make good decisions. Mm-hmm. And so this is how everything a little bit started.
So you found your prince here.
Yeah, we are not pretty. I mean, I'm not a princess and he's not a prince, but yes, I would describe.
Yeah.
I found my prince.
So let me say, it's a fairy tale castle in Palazzo.
Yeah. In a certain way, it is. I mean, I honestly feel I have been extremely lucky to have had my husband next to me, thinking, you know, backwards. I would have never done this without him. I mean, he has been always very, very open-minded, very, very, I mean, trustful and supportive. And I mean, the best person I could rely to.
Perfect to hear. Yeah. So he is very connected. He's now working in the vineyards.
Yes.
I think he knows every stone and every plant. And then he is he had done a lot in the villa with the furniture, because he is, his old professional, former profession was to restore old furniture.
Yeah.
And
design new.
So beautiful. Pieces, let me say, are all over the villa. So, do you know where the name Il Palazzo comes from?
Yes. Well, first of all, Il Palazzo is a very common name in Tuscany.
Yes, that's true. Around every corner, you find an Il Palazzo.
Yeah. This has been difficulty in some cases. Well, Il Palazzo, in this case, Il Palazzo di Panzano, is really Il Palazzo of this village.
Yeah.
And
the
name goes back to senior house. So La Casa del Signore is like a house with a tower of a specific family.
Yeah.
And in this case, we speak about a house with tower of the 1200s registered.
Wow.
So in some cases, talking with people who have studied the background, the history behind I have been told that, of course, the history of this building is much more ancient.
Mm.
But Il Palagio is registered, and it's registered with a piece of a vineyard right below the pool area, so
yeah.
Right there, and with a house, with a tower, with a specific history behind, a very long history. And it belonged to the family Feridolfi, so a very important noble family.
Yeah.
And of course, a long story, this
history,
family has
yeah.
done, is a, it was a very powerful family in the Chianti area.
Yeah.
And so then, of course, we don't belong to that. And after the abolishment of the sharecropping, most of these houses and land became abandoned, and my grandfather had this opportunity to have saved some money and took the decision to buy it. So that's how entered my family.
And the Torre, the tower you mentioned before, is still existing.
Exactly.
So it is fantastic. Yeah. That I think it's in it's now an apartment.
It is. It
so,
is.
La Torre.
La Torre, esatto. Which amazing views, because you have a view of each corner of...
Isn't that one with the little terrace?
Exactly.
Oh, Mamma Mia. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. That's a fantastic view.
A fantastic view, yeah.
So, Palagio, Mamma Mia, Palagio, of course. It's not just about fairy tales and castles and history.
And history,
It is also, and let me say, above all, a winery.
Mm-hmm.
Let us have a little overview. Palagio is a small, but I would say excellent winery.
Mm-hmm.
It has about 8 hectares of vineyards, a lot of olive trees, which means a lot of work, I always say. Altogether, Palagio is 13 hectares. And it is located in Panzano in Chianti, we mentioned before. And the vineyards are facing the famous Concadoro, the Golden Valley. Perhaps the Concadoro is one of the best places for vineyards in the whole Chianti Classico area. So thanks to your grandfather. How much is the altitude here of Palagio? Because we are almost on the top of the Concadoro.
Yeah. We are located on the highest part of the Concadoro, and the elevation goes roughly from 435 to 470, 480 meters on sea level. So we are high.
Yes.
It's a good elevation. And
I would also say perfect exposition.
Yeah, south,
you would
southwest. I totally agree. I mean, I don't have any concern regarding the position. I feel, as you said, lucky in a certain way that my grandfather decided to buy it. Thanks to that decision, we are now here and we have this precious piece of land. And the morphological differences and the inclination of the surfaces here present quite light differences, of course, but very important aspect also on the growing of the vines.
How old are your vineyards?
Well, Franco
depends.
And I... Yes, exactly. Well, Franco and I have made lots of changes in these past years. Since my father died, we took clear, let's say, decisions, and we both agree on a project. And because of the idea we had in mind, we had to really make some changes. But of course, a change in winemaking is never something that you do today and you see the result tomorrow. So timing is the first thing I've learned, although I knew, but I've learned the lesson. So these changes that I talked about is mainly also the vineyards, the planting different kind of vineyards. So we have kept two pieces of a vineyard that my grandfather planted.
Also, okay.
At the end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s.
Okay.
So we speak about Sangiovese, but Sangiovese Grosso and mainly Sangiovese di Romagna. So lots of juice.
Yeah.
Not so much structure and, you know, consistency in the grape. So why we choose to keep it? Because we were really undecided to keep or even to replant that piece of vineyards. But we have created two new products. And that type of quality of grape is perfect for those two style of wines. So this is the reason why we have kept this oldest part. All the rest of the vineyards have been replanted. And we started to replant the vineyards in 2002, a piece. And then after a piece, we have come to plant the last piece in 2022.
Wow. So from late 80s, beginning 90s, so in a range of almost 30 years, can we say?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but of course, the main part we have done after my father died. So we speak about 2009.
Yeah.
To the 2022. In this period of time, we have really changed a lot.
And what you also changed, we had before also Merlot.
Exactly.
But now, the only grape, the only star is
Sangiovese.
Sangiovese. Perfect.
Wow.
And you're doing with this Sangiovese, you're now growing a Chianti Classico, which we have in a glass, a Chianti Classico Riserva. So the little bit higher quality. And then I would like to call it your signature wine, the Chianti Classico Gran Selezione with the special name Le Bambole. And you're doing a Rosato, which is called Aldemara.
Exactly.
All are beautiful names. But Aldemara, I'm really curious for it. What is the story behind the name Aldemara?
Well, all our wines have a specific story behind, and I could spend hours describing why we have decided.
Perfect. Next podcast.
Well, I must exercise myself, but well, Aldemara, first of all, is a very old Tuscan name, and is the name of my grandmother, my grandfather's wife. And I used to spend every day with her in the fields. And I have learned so much from her in terms of, you know, work, timing, resistance, efforts, strength and passion, love for nature, love for plants, love for the vegetable garden. She really taught me a lot. And so I have told you before that we, Franco and I, have decided to keep this oldest part of our vineyards. And it is really for this wine that we have decided to keep these oldest vines. Because Aldemara Rosato comes specifically from a harvest that we do in the oldest vines of our land. And many would say we are crazy because most of the time you hear that old vines produce the feature,
the key wine, because of the complexity.
Yeah. But in this case, not having such great complexity, the result of the grapes are perfect for the type of wine. So we end up picking them specifically for Rosato wine.
Perfect. And Next story, Le Bambole. Le Bambole, what a beautiful name.
Yes, well, this is touching, really, you know.
Yeah.
Putting the finger in emotionally. I always say this is a wine that represents the Sangiovese, one style of Sangiovese of Il Palagio di Panzano, but is also the emotional wine of our wines. Is, first of all, the last vineyard I have planted with my father just before he passed away. He planted the vineyard with me, and just a couple of weeks after he passed away.
Mamma mia.
And so when I speak about this, I always get very emotionally touched. But it's also the first wine that Franco and I have decided to create together as a pure expression of Sangiovese. And thinking of the past, thinking of the present, Franco and I, we could not think about the future. So we have two daughters, Giorgia and Gianna, who have grown up with us here property.
Beautiful daughters.
Yeah, you know, for a mother,
yeah,
it's always, they had no choice. They had to be here with us because both we were always here involved in the winemaking and taking decisions and working. So they have seen this growing with them. So La Vigna delle Bambole is dedicated to this emotional part of our story. Is a true story, and is really the story behind this label. So the label represents the preciousness of the soil, of the product that we get from this vineyard, because of its particular peculiarities, but also the emotional side of the wine.
Wow. Let's have a sip.
It's very nice.
Mm-hmm. I can recommend you that wine. As mentioned before, your vineyards are located in the Conca d'Oro, probably one of the best locations, we said, in the entire Chianti Classico. Several factors are important for producing an excellent wine. The importance of the soil is undoubtedly one of them, perhaps the most important we can discuss. But
yeah.
So many opinions, and ask 10 people, you will get 15 opinions.
Of course.
You told me during one of our recent meetings that you had the soil in all your vineyards analyzed.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us? Why did you? Because you had so much time or too much money?
Yeah, the decision, first of all, it took me a couple of years before I found the person who could do this job for us.
Okay.
And thanks to our oenologist and agronomist, Marco Chellini, who works next to me and Franco since 2004.
Wow.
Well, first with my father and myself, but then he helped me really to enter this world.
In this
as
wine
soon
world.
As my father passed away. I had always shared with him my sense of ignorance, my sense of, not being able to understand properly the soil type.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking of, you know, the time I have shared with my grandmother, the time I have shared reading and listening, and there was a gap between this, and I had to put things on paper. Mm-hmm. I had to understand from the basics.
Yeah.
And vineyards, one of the most important really aspect is the type of soil.
Well.
And if you want to properly plant a vineyard, that's exactly what you should look at.
And understand before.
So when we started to create this project, Franco and I have had discussions. Marco myself and Franco had discussions, and but at the center of this was always the word soil, soil type, clone. And so I said, well, we take a little bit of time, but we have to study what we have underneath and understand how properly develop our project. So this is really how everything started. And thanks to this map, I am a map woman. Like, I travel always with this map,
yeah,
to show where I am, yeah, to show where is Chianti Classico. And finally, I can show where is Palagio and what is our soil type. Not that makes any difference to many, but maybe one day this can help the technical, the experts to understand what's underneath.
So, and what is the soil?
Well, then, of course, right now we are really advantaged by the fact that Mas Naghetti recently have done an amazing book.
Yes, that's true.
Of Chianti Classico and studying the whole region. Everybody now can know everything. And so probably the work I have done, it's not anymore so important. But,
oh,
but you know, as you said, 10 people, 15 discussions. So, but in our case, we have two main formations that divides really like a snake, our land. The main part is Pietraforte, and the other type is the Sillano formation.
Pietraforte is very, let me say, unique. It's not so often find in the Chianti Classico region. It is really Panzano.
It is really Panzano.
There are small parts, I know, in Castellina as well, in Uga Castellina.
Monsanto,
and some are in the Rada also, but also on the other side of the Pesa, of the river, there is up to the hill over there. So it is really unique here in Panzano. And perhaps this is the taste of Panzano, could you say?
I mean, definitely in our wines. I think for myself, thinking of my wine, tasting my wine, and tasting also other wines of Panzano, I found this kind of typicity really that I would describe really like the typicity of this piece of land. And definitely, yes, it's probably one of the feature aspects of Panzano soils. And if you look at the map, as I said, thanks to the work that Mas Naghetti has recently done, you can really see on a map right now this indication of differences. And this piece of land of ours, which is so-called Il Poggio, the one that we have right in front of us, and we are really standing on this side. So what we want, why we did this, not only because of the need of this necessity of knowing, of course, but because of the idea we have, the idea we mainly had at the beginning and that we are still going, keeping. Thinking of how much wine is produced in this world, and being such a small winery, what could make the difference?
That's
and good. The only element that can make a distinctive distinction in quality, but mainly in the typicity of a wine, is the soil and the grape that grows, that grow above. So, of course, it took us lots of time. And in this long time, speaking about 17 years now, of constant investments done on our own pocket, the idea was from the beginning, our wines should come and should talk the language that you know, the language that should talk exactly and describe exactly the peculiarities of the piece of land they come from. Because there is no veil, there is a kind of distinction that you find from others. You can enjoy, you cannot enjoy, but definitely it's clear, the character. Of course, this doesn't mean that every year it's enjoyable at the same level, right?
It's nature.
And the purity of Sangiovese has become a kind of, not only a goal because we wanted to give this kind of personality to the wine, but also because it can reveal much more this process, this passage, you know, from a young vine to a more mature vine. Mm-hmm. And what does it mean? And how much it can change.
Yeah.
And it's also a kind of a database for us as producer, comparing one vintage to another. And we know exactly where we have been picking, and every year surprise us with differences.
So now we have to talk about the second, because we just talk about Pietraforte. We do not know the other one.
Well, you know, Pietraforte here has a big role. Yeah. But the other is not least important. I mean, it's not less important.
Yeah.
It's as important as Pietraforte, and definitely is one of the main difference. But the interesting thing is that among these two main formations, which are one of the key feature of difference of our soils, we have found, analyzing the soil, going deeper into this, that we have nine main differences,
mm-hmm.
with, of course, a homogeneous formation type.
Yeah.
So speaking of Pietraforte, of course, you have this, you share the same formation, and speaking about Sillano, you have the same formation.
So Sillano is the other one.
The other one.
Okay.
But among these two main differences, within those, we have found differences which are maybe not as important as the formation, but definitely give a different style of product at the end. So, for example, well, we speak always about the elevation, the exposure, the excursion, you know, these are very important. The depth of the soil, the content of the soil. So we have, of course, understood areas where we have a better accumulation of water,
mm-hmm.
for example,
mm-hmm.
and we have understood much more in specific where we have much richer magnesium, potassium, calcium. I mean, very minor aspects, but these psychochemical information is another detail that at the end for us, for the type of work we do combined with all the rest, give us a very interesting, different result at the end. And instead of picking everything at the same time and then speaking about just one type of grape, it would be very simple, very easy to just pick, you know, everything. But in our case, we don't do this. We underline, we search for these differences, and we keep the selection divided. So the parcel of selection is actually what gives birth to our wines.
Wow.
And so the La Vigna delle Bambole, for example, that we have talked before, it's one piece of land, which is, as you can see from the map, of course, who is listening cannot see that, but it's very different from all the rest of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Has a different exposure, different elevation, of course, different kind of winds. This gives, at the end, a concentration in the grape, a total different result in the grapes. And for that reason, we have always decided from the very beginning to keep that selection divided from all the rest. And this is why La Vigna delle Bambole, because it's a crew.
And this is the wine for the Gran Selezione, for the Chianti Classico Gran Selezione.
Exactly.
Did you drew consequences from all that information planting the new vineyards?
Yes, of course. I've learned so much.
You learn so much. And
I mean, I still have to learn a lot.
Let's take us with you planting a new vineyard. What does it mean? A lot of stones out to take out of the land?
Yeah. Well, in our case, a lot. Still, every year we try to do it. But, I have learned many things. Still, as I said, I have a lot to learn. The fact that I've seen with my eyes and I've been part of doing the work with my husband, because Franco is the real heart and soul of this winery, working hard every day. So together with who has assisted us during this work, I have had the opportunity to understand much better the importance of doing one type of work and another. And so when it came the chance to replant our vineyards, above the studying and the decisions of what kind of grape to select and plant, there was a main decision of what type of work you want to do on preparation of your soil. Because, of course, in this case, we had a fantastic piece of land which had to be ready for planting, and we wanted to maintain the fertile part in the best way. Yeah. So the work was done in a way to keep this and to give back in a certain way, to not destroy. So really, like doing a bed, we had to remove the first linen and work underneath and put everything back so that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, I mean, a huge work that is hard to describe, especially in English, which is not my language, but it took a lot of time, especially because here there were really lots of stones. The richness in a certain way. But
is this a reason why this beautiful stone is on the at the gate and when you enter to Palazzo?
Yeah, well, they are everywhere, as you can see. Well, actually, we were speaking about Pietraforte, right?
Yes.
Stones everywhere. Yeah. If you look behind our shoulder, we have this house. And it speaks exactly, it tells you exactly what's in the land. Because in the past time, they had to use what they had right there. And this is exactly what they could find. So, yeah, the richness of our land and stones.
So you mentioned the house. The house is not just a house. It's a so-called agriturismo, or let me say the best place to do a holiday. Because you have apartments here. How many apartments do you have for guests?
We have actually 5 units. One is a little studio room, as I described. We rent individual units or the entire villa. And so we are very versatile. And I started actually when I was still in the university to do this. So 1996 was my first year.
Wow. Next year anniversary. You have to do a party.
Yeah, I have to do a party. Yes, it'd be a good idea. Yeah, really. 1996 was my first year entirely managing, you know, the whole thing. So now it's quite a bit of time. I've been hosting people really from, I think, all over the world. And the beauty of doing this job is it gives you always good vibes and new energy, and you can share this beauty with everybody. People come here stressed, annoyed by the problems of life that sometimes kill us. And you come here, you look at this view, simple life, simple people, fantastic food, amazing wines, such a kind of biodiversity in front of you.
And calm.
Calm. And this is luxury for me.
Yeah.
When people say, what? Are you a luxury of Greece Turismo? Yes, it is. Because luxury, it's not for me something that you can buy and place in one spot. Luxury is what you can achieve in life.
Wow.
The value.
Wow.
Humans' values, which in this area, I think we still have.
So it's quite a familiar agriturismo. So one little one for big is not big, not so big, bigger. one it's for six people.
One is for six, and then we have the other for four, and just one tiny one, as I said, like a studio, which is a bedroom with bathroom. So all together, the maximum capacity we do is 20.
Wow.
But most of the time, we don't have the maximum number. Like we have a couple who usually rent the largest unit for 2 or 3 weeks for their vacation. Oh.
And then you have this fantastic pool with the almost best view you can have.
Yeah, the view here is stunning.
So swimming in the pool means being in the Concadoro.
Yes.
Wow. And because you do something very, I think, very nice, very warmly, I would feel really warmly welcomed. You have a vegetable garden for your guests.
My passion.
It's so great.
Yes, I love it. You know, as I
your guests can go into the garden and harvest a cucumber or fagioli, so beans or something else. What do you have?
Yeah, I've learned that from my grandmother.
Aldemara.
Aldemara. And she was really, really great. Then my father's hobby was gardening and vegetable garden. Yeah. And I've learned watching.
Yeah.
And I'm learning by mistakes.
Yeah.
And
as always in life.
sometimes you learn more from mistakes than, researching or studying, because you, of course, give you the knowledge, but then you have to put yourself to do it. And dealing with nature, you learn that it's hard to win. Sometimes you learn that you have to lose to to win. So anyway, apart from jokes, yes, vegetable garden is really my passion. I love it. I do every year. Of course, I have some help because it needs a daily work.
Yeah.
But I try to keep this at least a few days a week for myself.
Yeah.
And it's the way I really find new vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my gym.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, at the end, you have the results immediately.
Yeah.
And you can taste that.
Yes. And sitting here is quite a great, really hard torture, because out of the kitchen comes a very fine, nice smell. I think some roasted onions or something else. Because you're also offering cooking classes.
Of course. I mean, I've always done.
Yeah.
I started everything, so 1996. But we used to do that in the apartment of the guests with chefs that I hired, chefs, of course, that I had cooperation with. But a few years ago, exactly in 2014, we renovated the old cellar. And because my idea was to host people here and share with them the value of being here. So hospitality done by the people who live here, that is myself, my husband, the people who work with us, who are our family, and share with them the products that we get from our vegetable garden, from our fruits.
Also from your vineyards.
Of course. I mean, exactly. I mean, and this accomplished perfectly the experience of understanding our wines. Because most of the time we try to explain to people what does it mean to have a piece of vineyard in that position instead of the other. But not every consumer is an expert that can find out these key features in the bottle of the wine. But viewing the vineyard, viewing the way you work the land, meeting the people that work that piece of land and seeing the efforts that in a vintage rather than another you do, you can understand why this wine tastes different. And I have really had the proof, like people who have come here the first time, not knowing anything about the region and not even understanding the difference between one type of wine or another, which is, I think, quite, let me say, normal, because not everyone can know everything. Especially in a wine world so incredibly huge at the moment. But being here with people who have grown up here, telling them the story of that piece of land or the other, telling them what is Panzano, why has become like this, what was before, the interest in discovering more and more has become really true. And I think it's the same thing for you.
It's, let me say, for me, it's always, I stay here a lot, you know, but I think every day I discover a new thing, a new stone.
Yes.
And so it is always, the Concador kept me. So I just, a body goes home to Salzburg sometimes.
Sometimes.
So,
all roads take you to
really. Monia, grazie. Grazie e ciao.
Grazie a te, Nina. I love you. Thank you so much for everything.
And you're still alive.
I am! Incredibly! I made it!
Tja, Monja war ein wenig nervös vor unserer Aufzeichnung. Sie hat ja erwähnt, dass es für sie das erste Mal war, bei einem Podcast Gast zu sein. Umso mehr haben wir nach der Aufzeichnung gelacht. Denn so eine Podcast-Aufzeichnung ist in Wirklichkeit ein Gespräch zwischen mir und meinem Gast. Nach nur wenig Minuten vergessen die meisten dann das Mikro und plaudern einfach drauf los. Monja hätte später noch lange weiter erzählen können, aber wenn du noch mehr erfahren möchtest, dann findest du auch viele Informationen über Il Palagio di Panzano auf meiner Website. Link wie immer in den Shownotes, das kennst du ja schon. Ich sage nochmals herzlichen Dank an Monja für ihre Zeit und für ihren Enthusiasmus, trotz anfänglicher Scheu, uns in ihre Welt mitzunehmen. Und all das, damit du hoffentlich eine gute Zeit hattest, diese Episode zu hören. Danke für deine Aufmerksamkeit. Ich weiß mir das sehr zu schätzen. Wenn dir mein Podcast gefällt, dann freue ich mich, wenn du den Abo-Button klickst. Danke schon mal vorab dafür. Wie immer hoffe ich, dass ich dich auch heute mitnehmen konnte in meine Chianti Classico-Welt. Denn das ist meine Passion, mein Auftrag. So fühle ich es zumindest. Ich sag ciao, ciao, bis zum nächsten Mal hoffentlich. Ich freue mich auf dich. A presto! Drum schenk ihm